Romans 13, 11 to 14. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. How are we to understand the present time? Well, if you're a politician, you understand where public opinion is going, and you try to work with that public opinion. If you're an investor, your understanding is of the financial markets, and you try to make use of that to make more and more money. You know when to buy and sell your shares. If you're a student, you're in tune with the latest ideas, and you're trying to reshape life in line with those ideas. When you think about what it means to understand the present time, it's very much with those ideas in mind. But what about Christians? What are Christians to do and to make of the times? This verse 11 begins, "Do this, understanding the present time." What are we to understand about the present time? What are the times in which we live? Well, let me read these verses, the first couple of verses. "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." What's it talking about? It's talking about the return of Jesus Christ to this world. That's the day that is soon dawning. That is the sunrise that is about to happen. That is what we're to understand about the present. We're living in a time between the first coming of Jesus and when he then died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And now, the next thing to happen is Christ's return. And sometimes this period is described in Scripture as the last days. On the day of Pentecost, Peter the Apostle quoted from Joel and said that there was a fulfillment of the outpouring of the Spirit which would come in the last days. Well, those last days began with the ascension of Christ, and the last days will be completed with his second coming. This world and everything in it will come to an end. It is passing away. One day, every eye will see Jesus. They will see him in his glory. As lightning flashes from one end of the sky to the other, and everyone can see it, even if you're indoors, you know that the lightning has happened, as long as you've got some kind of window in the house. Every eye sees it, and so with the coming of Christ. This will be a day like no other day in the history of the world. Every ear will hear that last blast of the trumpet, calling God's people, just as in Old Testament times, the blast of the trumpet assembled the people, so that last blast will sound. The dead in Christ will be raised. Christians who are alive will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. And you know what? The things of this world will lose their luster. Its treasures will now seem utterly worthless. Its excitements will seem horribly pointless. Christians will wish that they've cared more about God's commands than public opinion. Investors will wish that they'd paid more attention to the treasures of heaven and invested in those treasures rather than in the stocks and shares. And students will wish that they had embraced God's word more than the latest ideas. But for Christians, it will be a day of glory. It will be a day of joy. We've been offering our bodies as living sacrifices. We've been renewing our minds. We've been ready for this day. And we will rejoice when we see our Savior, Jesus Christ. At last, we will see him. What we have longed for will be here. And I sometimes wonder, what will I be able to say to Jesus when I see him? How will we be able to thank him that he gave his life for us? That he saved us from that awful destruction and is bringing us into his glory? Well, as we come to the end of this section in Romans chapters 12 to 13, very practical verses telling us how we should live in the light of the gospel, Paul gives to us yet another reason, another motive for living lives that please God. And this is the motive. Jesus Christ is about to return. So I've got two headings. The first is this. The time to wake up has come. Picture life back then without any electricity, just oil lamps. And no power tools, no machinery. And so most people's work was heavy manual labor. You couldn't put your laundry in a washing machine. You'd have to rub and scrub it. You couldn't jump into a tractor to plow your field. You had to dig it by hand or guide the plow that the donkey or the oxen were pulling. It was heavy manual labor. And a lot of the work you would do would be outside. And so you were completely reliant on the daylight. You can't exactly plow a field by oil lamp. Imagine how wiggly the lines would be. You'd wake up the next morning, you'd see you'd missed half of it out. You're very dependent on the daylight. And so if you wanted to work, you would be up at the first sign of dawn. You needed to be in the marketplace, ready to be hired for the day before sunrise. Remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard? The surprising thing about that parable, of course, is that people get hired later in the day, not just before sunrise. But if you wanted a full day's pay, if you wanted to eat bread that night, you would be up as soon as the dawn begins to break, and before the sun comes up. And so as the dark night is replaced in the east with that light, so you would be rising. That's the picture we have in these first two verses. And it describes the present time, the last days. Just as you know that the sun is soon going to rise when you see the flush of light in the eastern sky, so as Christians, we know that Jesus Christ is soon going to appear. You don't know exactly when it's going to happen. Well, I suppose these days, you know, you can look at your watch and... But you know, with that light there, the sun is soon going to be appearing. And so is Christians. It's like there's that flush of light in the sky. We understand the times. And very soon, Jesus Christ is going to appear. We're living at that time no longer in darkness, but there's some light and the full force of the sun in all its brilliance and splendor will soon be shining. It's not a time to roll over and get back into bed. It's not a day to have a lie-in. This is not a day to miss. This day of all days is the day you need to be up. And so it says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. we first became Christians. And as time moves on, we know that that coming of Christ is ever closer. Our salvation is drawing near. Now, in one sense, we're already saved. But the fullness of that salvation is yet to come. We still struggle with sin. It still grieves us that we fail our Lord. But one day we shall see him and we will be like him. One day the struggles will be over and we shall see our Saviour. No longer will we be tempted. No longer will we fail in our effort to serve God. When the Lord appears, our salvation will come in all its fullness. Indeed, our bodies will be transformed. We will have resurrection bodies like that of Christ. We saw this back in Romans chapter 8. Imagine it's the day of your graduation or the day of your wedding or some other really special day. You'd want to be up in time, wouldn't you? Though that day of all days, you're not going to turn over in bed and miss it because you're just sleeping. How much more for the Lord's appearing? This is the great finale of God's purposes for his people and indeed for this world. It's the day of our redemption. We will be glorified. We will rejoice in our Saviour. I wonder, as you look at your life, if you're not yet a Christian, and maybe you young people think, well, one day I'm going to be a Christian. You can't imagine coming to the end of your life not believing in Jesus. You definitely want to be a Christian at some point. Yeah? I imagine that's true of all of you. Now is the time. There's urgency here. Wake up from your slumber. Don't think, one day I will believe in Jesus. One day I'll seek him for forgiveness. One day I'll live for him. Now is the day of salvation. Because the day is almost here. The sun is about to rise. I remember many, many years ago when my sister was at university and she studied modern languages, and in those days, I don't know if they still do it, you would spend 1 year abroad. And so she was going off to Spain, well, to learn Spanish. I guess that's fairly obvious. But anyway, she was going off to Spain to learn Spanish. And she was going to catch the coach from Swansea coach station to the airport. And I said, look, I'll cycle into town and see you off. Well, one thing or another happened, and this happened. I'll just do this, just, and then I got on my bike and pedaled down, and the bus had gone. And I felt really rotten. I wasn't going to see her for months and months. I wonder if it'll be like that for you on the day of the Lord. You're just putting it off. You intend to become a Christian. You intend to be there, but is it going to be too late for you? Is it going to be too late? I can't even remember the things that I was doing. I can't remember what seemed so important at the time. I should have got in the car with my parents and seen her off like that. Are you putting it off? What's more important? What's so important that is stopping you from believing in Jesus, your life to him? What could possibly be more important? The day is about to dawn. Maybe you are a Christian. Most of us here are Christians. I wonder, do you ever think to yourself, at some point, I'm going to be really living wholeheartedly for the Lord? At some point, I'm going to be utterly devoted to him. Can I say, that point is now. Now is the time. The dawn has come. The sun is about to rise. Wake up. Nothing can be so important as your commitment to Jesus Christ. Nothing can come before that. The time to wake up has come. Secondly, the time to dress properly has come. The time to dress properly has come. See, the picture in these verses moves on from getting out of bed and to getting dressed, and getting dressed in the right clothing. So the end of verse 12, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 14, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to get rid of the bad behavior of verse 13, and we're to clothe ourselves with, put aside the deeds of darkness, and we're to put on the armor of light. So think back to that person way back then before electricity. The first signs of dawn are lightening the sky, and they get up. What clothing are they going to put on? I guess it depends what they're going to be doing that day. But this is no ordinary working day. This is the day when they're going to meet the King. The one thing they're not going to wear is yesterday's dirty clothing. No, they're going to put on their best, their cleanest, their smartest clothing, because they're meeting the King. And that's the picture we've got here. Just as we change our clothing to fit what we're doing. You know, if you're going to work or if you're going skiing, you wear something completely different. If you're going to a wedding or if you're going to dig in the garden, you wear something rather different. And so our behavior is to fit with the arrival of the King, with this glorious salvation that is fast approaching. We don't put on yesterday's dirty clothing, those deeds of darkness, but we put on the armor of light, the salvation, the faith, the hope, the love, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 13 lists several deeds of darkness that are never to be part of the Christian's yesterday's behavior. But we don't put those filthy garments on again. If you're going to be a Christian, you're repenting of those things. You're turning away from them. You're seeing them as filthy garments. Verse 13, let us behave decently, properly, appropriately for those who are the children of God. We're to be those who live as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, the revelry and the excessive drinking that was so common in their pagan festivals or today's nightlife. That is not something for the Christian. That's the old dirty clothing. You don't put that back on. That's not where you go. That's not how you behave. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. That indulgence that violates God's loving design for marriage. That just indulges sexual appetites. That's the dirty clothing of yesterday. And we get rid of it. And instead, we live godly lives. Not in dissension and jealousy. That readiness to quarrel. Always having an answer back. Always trying to prove ourselves better than the other person. That jealousy that when we realize they're better than us in something, we just can't accept that. That's yesterday's dirty clothing. Don't get rid of it. Rather, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the day is almost here. The sun is about to rise. And you need to be out there, ready for this day, clothed and ready to go, ready to meet the King. Jesus Christ is about to appear. What does it mean to clothe yourself with Jesus Christ? Well, I think it starts by putting on his righteousness. Isaiah 61 and verse 10, let me just read to you, it's probably the best known verse where it talks about being clothed with his righteousness, but it's a picture that runs right through the Bible. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, we are robed in his righteousness. We saw this earlier in Romans, didn't we? There's this great teaching of being justified by faith, where our sin is taken by Jesus and laid on him on the cross, and he dies as he bears God's wrath, taking the punishment for our sin. And instead, he gives us his perfect righteousness. And we receive that. We're clothed in it. It's like putting on new, fresh, beautiful clothing. Clothing that makes us suited to meet the King. That great exchange happens as we put our faith in Jesus. Earlier in Romans chapter 3, he has described how this can happen, how we can be justified. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Romans 3. This is what it means to clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. You turn from your sin. You confess it. You put your faith in Jesus. You say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. Please forgive me. Please give me your righteousness so that I can be clothed, ready to meet you. And you know, he takes away those filthy garments. He takes away your sin. And he clothes you, making you beautiful, like he is. And even if you sin again, and we do, we don't despair, because he has said and promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. And so every day we ask him again, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me that I failed you today. Don't let those sins defeat you. Turn quickly from them. Are you feeling guilty today? Are you feeling downcast today because of your sin? You do not need to be, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. You need to confess that sin. You need to turn from it, and you need to go back to him. Wake up. Put on his righteousness. What else does it mean to put on Christ as a garment? Well, it means to be renewed in your mind. Look at verse 2 of chapter 12. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to have the same mindset that Christ has. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We're to be humble. Andy Robinson will be looking at those verses next Saturday. We're to fill our minds with the thoughts that Jesus has, with his attitude, with his passion and priorities. How can we fill our minds like that? Well, it starts by reading his word. You know, whatever you read, that's what fills your mind. Whatever you watch on the screen, That's what fills your mind. And the simple truth is this. The more you read this sort of book or watch that sort of program, the more you will think like those authors, those screenwriters. That's just the reality of the matter. But if you're in the Word of God, and if you're reading Christian books, if you're looking at what is wholesome and good, you will start to think more and more like Jesus Christ. Memorize the things that Jesus said. That's why we do memory verses. That's why we've got a whole booklet of memory verses that we're learning. I hope you're working hard on them. Encourage your children to memorize these verses. These are the words of God. This is how we can transform our minds. Think about how Jesus responded in the different circumstances and situations that he faced. And we see how beautiful it was. And as we think about that, we say, Lord, help me to respond like that. We're renewed in our minds. We ask the Lord to transform our thoughts, to fill us with his thoughts. Pick up your hymn book. We're not going to sing yet. We're going to read a very short hymn together. It's number 839. 839. Now, it was originally written in French, apparently. Translated a long time ago, back in the early 16th century. If you're an Anglican or have been to an Anglican church, I'm sure you'll have heard this. We won't get Chris to sing it to us, but I'm sure he would do it beautifully. We're going to read together. It's a wonderful prayer. And this is filling our minds with the Lord. So 839, we'll read it slowly together. God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at my end and at my departing. Make that your prayer. Pray that God will so fill your heart, your mind. It's like you're clothed with Jesus Christ. To put on Christ means putting on his righteousness. It means being renewed in your mind. It's also to be filled with his love, receiving that love from him and showing it to others. And I won't talk much more about that. We looked again at it last week. But it's such a wonderful thing to know that the Lord of glory is moved with compassion as he looks upon us. He saw those crowds and he was moved with compassion. He sees us today and he's filled with compassion. You feel loved? There is someone in heaven who loves you. Embrace that love. Just as he embraces you. That's what it means to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is love. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing to have the King of glory who loves us, is passionate for us. You know, when I feel my guilt and my failure, as I so often do, this is my comfort. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And that's how he demonstrates his love for me. When you doubt his love, when you think you've just gone too far away from him, remember that before you ever believed, simply out of love for you, he died on the cross. We can never go deeper than that. We can never have something richer than that. We can never have anything greater than the love of Jesus in dying for us. So don't despair today. Don't despair at your failure. Embrace his love. Be embraced by his love. Clothe yourself with Jesus Christ, surrounded by him. It's such a comfort. Be full of him. Think about him. Speak about him. Imitate him. Talk with him daily. I can only imagine this, I don't have a mobile phone, but you know, if you're meeting someone and you know, you don't quite know when you're going to meet them, but if you're in frequent communication, they're on their mobile, you're on your mobile, and then you meet, even though it's a crowded place. Isn't it like that with the coming of Christ? We're talking to him every day. He's speaking to us as we read the word. We have that communion with him. And then we meet. Oh, it's not the same when you see someone in person as when you talk on the phone. You know, text messages apparently are great. But it's much better in person. Praying is wonderful. Knowing the Lord speak to us through the word is a wonderful thing. But when we see him face to face, those things will seem so pale, almost empty. Because that day of glory will be like when the sun comes over the horizon and its warmth and its brilliance and its color will fill our hearts. You have beautiful clothing to wear. Now put it on. You have a beautiful example to follow. Now follow it. You have the very power of God by the Spirit in your hearts. You can live as children of the day. Wake up. Put on the right clothing. And rejoice in the Lord. Long for his appearing. Let's pray. Thank you.